Hi there, and welcome to Gems of Wisdom. Today our episode is entitled Look for the Light, and we want to welcome you to the stories of Bridget's Place, a soul sanctuary for women to inspire the hearts, the minds, and the lives of women through art, charity, and community. Today our guest is Karen Walrond, an author and a photo essayist. Karen is a creator of an anthology of images and stories about living with intention and a fun sense of adventure. It's photography and travel and food and art and life. It's about the connection and the creativity and determination and resonance that we all experience if we only look for the light. So stay tuned. Karen will be with us in just a moment. I'd like to introduce myself, Teresa Marone, as your host today, and my co-host is Lauren Santerre, the Executive Director of Bridget's Place. So let me welcome you today, Lauren. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you so much. How are you doing today, Teresa?
You know, I feel better. No, I'm just kidding. I feel great. We have so many wonderful things going on at Bridget's Place in June and July, and we're going to be able to talk about several of those things today. But the first thing that I just wanted to share with all of our listeners, and quite a few of you are in Houston, the art for this art show is amazing. And we're just now starting to get in the judges' decisions about this art. It's trickling in. And Lauren, I don't know about you, but I couldn't help but be rooting for some of my favorites. Of course, I won't say which ones, but...
Yes,
what about
of
you?
Of course. Yes, we always have, you know, those things that our heart just is drawn to, I think, in art, any kind of art form, that which speaks to us. And it's going to be so delightful, I think, to see which artists are finally chosen for the show and really what people resonate with. But I have to say, you know, we had so many wonderful submissions, and I'm really just so grateful to all of the wonderful artists who sent their submissions in and took time and really put their hearts into this art show to reimagine Mary Magdalene with us. And truly, it has been, I think, one of the most delightful parts of doing this whole project and this whole festival with Mary Magdalene. It has been, for me, just such a blessing to see all of this wonderful creativity come through and spirit. I mean, it really has been a testament to the spirit of both Mary Magdalene and our artists, and it's just been great. It's been really fun.
Well, you know, when we first started talking about it, reimagine what Mary Magdalene would look like or what she means to you or how you feel about her story and your story being intertwined, I thought we would get a lot of, I guess what I'm trying to say is I didn't realize how broad of a scope of that the entries would take. I mean, we have gotten everything imaginable, and it's all been very appropriate. So that was the big surprise for me.
Yeah, I think it is. It's, you never really know, you know, what people are going to come up with, and I think that's what's so great. And I think it just harkens back to how I feel about God, you know, and God's creation. And there's so much diversity in the world. And I think that's reflective of God's spirit and of divinity in general. You know, there's so much diversity. And I think we're meant to see that and appreciate that and revel in that. It's just wonderful.
I like the word revel. We need to use that word more often. But I wanted to tell the listeners that if you want to hear more about the Mary Magdalene Festival, just go to bridgetsplace.org and click on the events tab, and you'll see some of the many, many events that we are having in the next 6 weeks. It's really a plethora, isn't it?
Yes, so, it is indeed.
Yes, and I'm hoping that plethora is not the gem of the day, Lauren.
No, it is not. It is not. You did not get my gem of the day. One day you're going to get it.
You know what? One day we'll switch roles, and my first choice of word will be plethora or conundrum. But yes. Until that time, let's hear the gem of the day there, Lauren.
Well, our gem of the day today is soul, S-O-U-L, and partly in honor of our beautiful guest, Karen, but also in honor of the class that I'm taking right now, which is on spirituality and transformation. And I loved this quote from David Brenner, it says, soul is the reflective space between us and the events of our lives. And I just thought that was such a wonderful definition and quote about soul. You know, so often we think about soul as an entity or a substance or, you know, even some kind of thing, some tangible thing. But the concept of soul being this space that we almost exist in or somehow we experience life in, I thought that was so powerful. And what an interesting thing to kind of meditate on. And I've been really been meditating on that for the last few days. You know, how does our soul even carry us through life? What does that mean? And how do we go as sort of souls through this existence? And how do we reflect in that space? You know, and how do we quiet ourselves amidst all the noise and take in that which is around us. And so, you know, I tend to be one of those people that's very specific and very purpose-driven, and I want everything kind of a certain way and have a little bit of a hard time kind of going with the ebb and flow of life. That's not really my general tenor. And I have a partner in life who is very opposite to that, and he likes to remind me about the fact that, you know, it's not really necessary to worry about things until there's actually something to worry about.
Really?
I know, it's weird. I don't get it. It's not my philosophy, you know. I like to think of all the things that can go wrong first. That's my default. Instead, you know, he's like, oh, well, we just worry about that when that becomes a problem. And so this morning, as I was taking a soul moment and reflecting on life when I was driving to work, you know, I just started saying thank you, you know, thank you, God, thank you for this day. How blessed I really am, you know, I am so blessed. I have every reason in the world to be joyful today. And so, you know, I just really encourage our listeners today to think about what is your reflective space? What do you have to reflect on today, and what is happening in your life? What are the events of your life that you could use some reflection on? What is your soul calling out to you to be mindful of? And I love Karen's work. I think her work is full of soul, and I think she has this amazing way of connecting us to the soul of people through her work and her art, and also to the soul of the earth and to what is around us. And so I'm really excited that we're getting to talk to her today.
Well, I am too, Lauren, and thank you so much for your gem of the day, soul.
Thank you.
Well, let's bring our guest on today. Karen Walrond is... Well, I guess, Karen, you might just be a Houston treasure. It is my honor to welcome you to Gems of Wisdom today. Say hello.
It's my honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's just jump right in. I know that you have a lot of titles underneath your name. Author and photo essayist just kind of scrapes the surface, but everything comes from the same... everything that I've seen that you've done comes from the same place of creation. I would jump out on a limb and say from your heart. But there's something that I read on your website this morning that really spoke to me. And the way Karen describes herself is that she makes observations on the concept that what makes each of us different is the very same thing that makes each of us beautiful and may even be the source of our superpowers. Karen, why does that mean so much to you, and why did you lead off with that on your website?
That concept sort of came to light for me when I was writing my book, The Beauty of Different. I actually had a past life that's very different than my current life. I was and am a lawyer. I don't practice anymore. But I was a lawyer in corporate America, and I remember for myself sort of like doing whatever it took to kind of fit in and to do whatever it took to be what I think, what I perceived as a lawyer in corporate America should be, which is ridiculous, honestly, because it took a while for me to figure out that as long as I was, working hard and living my life with integrity, there was no reason to change anything about myself. And also, because I had traveled a lot, personal travel for sure, but also in my job, I was sort of intrigued by the idea that that when we travel, we love to see the stuff that's different. And actually, we don't even have to travel for it. We're sort of intrigued by people who are different. It explains sort of the popularity of somebody like Lady Gaga, for example, that we just sort of love or sort of transfixed by people who sort of live their lives the way that seems to defy all reason or convention. And yet we don't like to stand out. Like a lot of times we're like, I don't want to be perceived as different in corporate America, or I don't want to seem different in my church or my kids' PTA or whatever else. You just want to blend. And I loved the kind of dichotomy of being fascinated with people who are different and yet being afraid to express that own difference with ourselves. And so that's what prompted me to write the book. And what I learned in the process of writing the book, of course, is that the difference is really what makes us beautiful, and all we have to do is sort of claim it, which is where the fear comes in, right? But as soon as you claim that difference, whatever that difference may be, whatever, however weird it is, however much we might have been teased about it when we were kids, we find a sense of freedom to be ourselves. And it tends to be the thing that that people are drawn to when they see that about us. And if used correctly, that difference can help us make a difference in the world as well. And so that's what I mean by it can be your superpower.
Well, two people come to mind that kind of rocked the boat, and it made them hugely famous and successful. And both of these women, if you study their lives, they really weren't trying to be hugely famous. They were just trying to make a difference and stand for what you're talking about. And that's Cindy Crawford, who was told to have her mole removed, and then she became the top supermodel, of her time. And then Maude Adams, who is still a supermodel well into her 70s because of the space in her teeth. I mean, it's what makes us beautiful. I'm starting to get this now, Karen. Can you tell? I'm kind of getting it. It's a superpower.
Sure. It's not just physical beauty as well, right? Like, I mean, it definitely is that with physical beauty, but it's with everything. I mean, whatever it is that makes it different. For example, for me personally, one of the things that I was very ashamed of as a child was the fact that I was really sensitive, that I would cry at a drop of a hat. And for the longest time, I worked really hard at sort of keeping that at bay, and usually that came out as snarkiness or sarcasm in order to kind of defend against that. But it turns out that my sensitivity is my superpower. It's what allows me to take photographs that I think resonate with people. It allows me to write my books, and it allows me to speak in a way that I think people connect with. So, it's physical for sure, but I think it's everything. It's everything about us that makes us different that's really our superpower.
Well, I think that you're right. So one of the things that you have on your website that was really intriguing to me, and I'd love it if you would just share a little bit of your insights, is you worked on the One Girls and Women's Advisory Board, and you were part of the One campaign. I think a lot of us have heard about that. And your pictures are beautiful from there. Tell me, I know we've only got a few minutes here. What What did you take away from that, or seeing the poverty and the disease and the developing countries? Did you see a difference being made?
Yeah, so the One Campaign is a non-profit advocacy group that sort of it's nonpartisan, and it tries to convince Western governments, particularly the U.S., not to cut foreign aid. And this aid is used to help fight poverty or preventable disease. And I've been working with the One Campaign now for about 4 years. I've been on several trips with them, been to Ethiopia, to Kenya, and most recently, a few weeks ago, I was in Malawi in Africa. And it's amazing. Of course, each country is very different. But one thing that all three of them really have in common as far as the stories that I witnessed was this idea of resilience and this idea of sort of innovation and creativity and the way that you can make amazing things happen in your own world, regardless of circumstance. So, you know, we saw farmers who were thriving. We saw women who the work done were able to get on retrovirals so that their newborn babies were HIV negative. And so there were all kinds of stories. I mean, you know, we've two more shows to kind of cover everything there. Overall, the overarching thing was this sort of idea that despite a lot of challenges, people can be really resilient and creative in overcoming that. And I think it's a lesson that we can all take in the Western world, because obviously we here in the United States don't face the poverty. Certainly there's poverty in the United States, but it's not in the you said.
Yes, yeah, not the same.
But not the same. But said we have lives, and that doesn't take away from that. But it was really inspiring and sort of connecting to see how people can be so innovative and creative in meeting challenges head on, and it sort of, you know, challenges us no matter where we are in the world to do the same in our own lives.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of thing that I think our listeners would love to hear about. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. Many of us will never be able to see with our own eyes what you were able to see through your work.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's an honor to be able to bring those stories and those images to everybody.
Yes, I really appreciate it. You know, we named the show Look for the Light, and let's get really literal here.
Sure.
I know that Look for the Light is supposed to work on many, many different levels, and you are talking about looking for the light spiritually, emotionally, mentally, everything. But in your photographs, you always use light as a part of the theme. I mean, am I wrong? Am I seeing that wrong?
No, actually, you're seeing that exactly right, and that's why I use the phrase look for the light so much in my own work. It means looking for the light in your life, looking for the light in each other, but photography, the word photograph, basically means drawing with light, and any photographer worth their salt will tell you that the light is the primary character in any image that they try to make. The subject is actually secondary. You always look for how light is falling, how light is behaving, whether or not it's streaming or dappling or shining or sparkling or reflecting, and you kind of compose your shot based on that. So there's lots of levels in which I mean look for the light for sure in my work.
Right, and if you go to Karen's website, it's chukulunks.com, and you know, I'm sure you've been asked about that 8 million times, and I promised myself I wasn't going to, but I do have to say there's a lot of O's in that.
Yeah. So I'm actually originally from the Caribbean, from Trinidad, and we speak English in Trinidad, but it's a word that we use to mean sweetheart, particularly with children. So that's where it comes from. Oh, you're such a chukulunks, you would say to a child.
You know, that would be a great word to have on Wait, Don't Tell Me, you know, where they come up with the definition and the do you know that show on NPR? I love that show.
It's my favorite.
I have a group of girlfriends, and we go out to dinner, and we, you know, find something on the menu, and we play Wait, Don't Tell Me, because it's so fun. So I'm going to pull, do you mind if I pull chukulunks out there?
Absolutely.
They'll never guess
please.
The
go
correct
ahead,
definition.
No? unless they're Trinidadian, about once a month. I get somebody on the internet who finds me and goes, you have to be from Trinidad. I haven't heard that word since I was a child.
Well, just so our listeners know, you can find Karen's link, chukalunks.com, on the Blog Talk page, or you can go to bridgetsplace.org, click and click on events, because Karen is going to be a featured artist at our upcoming event June 23rd. This is called Her Story, Your Story. And Karen, I know we haven't had the event yet, and I know you're still in the process of bringing three artists together to create this amazing event. But do you want to give us just about 2 minutes of a preview?
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited about this. I'm going to be working with the wonderful novelist Catherine Center and also the amazing composer Anita Cruz. And we're going to be showing lots of beautiful images, as well as Catherine's going to read some original work. And Anita's going to be performing some of her original music, all while my images are going to be up there. So it's going to be sort of a multi-sensory sort of event. We're really excited about it.
It sounds like an out-of-body experience.
Well, I sort of hope so. I hope it's going to be a peaceful one as well. But, yes, it's going to be really pretty fabulous, I think.
I know. It brings me back to the gym of the day when Lauren was talking about existing within our soul. I think that there's going to be the opportunity in the room with everyone experiencing all these Houston treasures. Anita Cruz and Catherine Center have both been on Gems of Wisdom before. And I think that Lauren and I would both agree that being in Houston, Texas is being I mean, it's kind of like living in Manhattan. There's just everyday brilliance going everywhere. It's magical, really, to be able to experience some of the top artists, really, in the world, all within one living room. So bridgetsplace.org, click on events, find out a little bit more about it, and contact us if you'd like to attend. So Karen, I know you do a lot of spiritual work under the guise of being an artist who also does spiritual work. And I know that all of your work comes from a special place in your heart. And not to put you on the spot or anything, to come up with something completely noteworthy, but I'd like for you to share with our listeners just, you know, if they are struggling or if there's a budding young artist out there that is being told that she can't follow her dream, just give us a little bit of your story on that.
So are you asking like advice for an artist, or are you just basically how to make it through life?
Let's stick with artists, because I think that's something a lot of 17, 18, 19-year-olds are struggling with. You know, I mean, you went to law school, and then you became what you are now. I just thought you might have a special take on that.
Yeah. You know, I think everybody is creative. I think every single person is creative, regardless of what they think. I think there are people who don't lead creative lives and choose not to lead creative lives, but I think every one of us, we are made to be creative. We are made to create. So my advice would be to do so, to just continue to create, even if you don't think your work is that great right now, even if other people are telling you your work is not that great. Do what you are compelled to do and just keep at it and keep going. There's a great author named Malcolm Gladwell who says that to get world-class mastery at anything requires practicing for 10,000 hours, and I sort of love that. I don't even have 10,000 hours in photography for what I do, and certainly not in writing. But I think there's something to be said about just keeping at it and creating a practice of being creative, whatever that is for you, whether it's writing or photography or art or ceramics or whatever it is it might be that makes you feel creative. Because at the very least, your soul will be filled. There's that word again. Your soul will be filled. And the best thing that could happen is other people will see the beauty in it as well.
Yes, and I think it's what makes us happy, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's no question. That's what we were here to be. We are here to be creative people.
I agree. Karen, it's been my absolute pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you so much for being our guest on Gems of Wisdom.
Absolutely my honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, I'm looking forward to the show in about 10 days. Lauren, did you have anything you wanted to say to Karen before we close our show today?
Well, I just, of course, want to say thank you for being on the show, and thank you for coming for our her story is our story event on June 23rd. We're so excited about that, and I just can't wait. I think Teresa's right. It is going to be a soul experience, and you know, we really highly encourage our listeners to come to that. And what a divine you know, night that all three of our wonderful presenters are going to be together for that celebration. And truly just, you know, everyone visit Karen's website. It is so beautiful and will touch your soul. So I just, you know, I send out our love and our joy to our listeners this week, and just pray that you have many, many soul moments this week as you travel through life. And we hope to see you soon at Bridget's Place.
Yes, and I just wanted to remind everybody that we have so many events going. I don't want to confuse everyone, but our art show reception is all leading up to our grand event, and that is our hosting of Dr. Kayleen Asbo, who is a Mary Magdalene expert, and among other things, you know, all of us are multifaceted, but she really brings, Dr. Kayleen Asbo brings a whole new definition to multifaceted, and she will be joining us for a Friday night and a Saturday workshop. So that's the grand featured event at the end. It'll be July 24th and 25th, so make sure you find out a little bit about that when you visit bridgetsplace.org. So, Lauren, it's been another great show, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
And as always, I appreciate your gem of the day.
Well, thank you. I love giving our gems.
All right. So join us next week when we'll be featuring the amazing Dorothy Gibbons. And have a soulful day. Thank you all so much. Thank you.